Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome once again to our weekly podcast. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you about all the good things that God has for you, to encourage you that you can be useful in His kingdom, and to challenge you to be all you can be. I would just like to encourage you to continue the journey which God has started you on. I'd like to encourage you that it's not all about you. It's about someone else. It's about your family, friends, and loved ones. The reason you're here today and you're able to do the thing that you do. I want to encourage you never to give up on God, and God will never give up on you. I'm excited, as always, about what's going on in the kingdom. I'm excited about how God continues to use me. Wake me up in the morning, start me on my way, how He's allowing me to continue the journey which He has for me to do, to be on, how He's allowed me to be here and do what I do for Him. But I wanted to let you know some things that's going on in the ministry. I want to do a little cleaning off my little notepad here and just inform you about what's happening. On the 2nd of October, we have an outing. We do a street ministry. It's in the southern part of Dallas, so please make note of that. A street ministry is from 9 to 12. Please reach out to me by Facebook, or you can email me at joylewis.com, or you can message me on the Facebook app. Just send me a message. And what we'd like you to do, if you would like to be a part of this ministry, just come on out. Give me a call, contact me, bring something with you. We don't need your resources, because our Father in heaven got all the resources we need. But we would love your participation if you have a desire to come out. If you can't bring anything, just come on out and just support what we're doing. You know, it's a great ministry, and I bet you'll have fun doing it also, okay? And guess what? It might be a life out there that only you can touch. I might be busy doing something else. I might not be the one, but maybe you that one. Maybe you that one that can give comfort and clarity to a man or woman that's struggling. There's some issues there, amen. We don't know what those things can be, but guess what? God have need of you. You know, He told Peter that. He said, hey, Peter, you know, the enemy came up to me, and he said, hey, I want Peter. And you know, but he said, Peter, I prayed for you, man. We had a conversation, and I told him he couldn't have you. But if you do slip and fall, Peter, it ain't the end. You can get up, Peter. But when you do get up, you're the strength of your brother. Oh, I love that. I love that. But we fall down, but we get up. Amen. Free on the Inside Ministry is what we're talking about. But restoring, being recovered, going on about doing what we've been called to do. And you know, and that's part of our street ministry that's coming up here on the 8th of October. So please make note of that. The time is from 9 to 12. Come on out and see what God is up to. And then on the 22nd of that same month of October, we're doing our annual feeding the multitude. That's where we have been blessed to go down to one of our local centers and shelters, rather, and be able to feed the residents down there. We've been doing that for a number of years, and if you've been following this program, or you've been if you're a Facebook friend, you'll see some of the things that we've been doing. And so we want to continue to do those things there also. So we're looking forward to that. We don't have the menu prepared just yet, but if you'd like to, the same information is available. If you'd like to reach out to us and come on down and just volunteer your services or your group services or your church services or whatever you may be, or the family or whoever it may be, excuse me, come on out and be a part of this here. We don't need your resources, but we do need your presence. So come on out and be a part of what God is doing, not what I'm doing, but what God is doing through His people. But this morning we have a show that's going to be brought to you. It's one of our archives. It's a very good archive. I enjoy it myself. It always brings back to our remembrance. As we go to school and going to college, we always struggle with, is it worth it? We always struggle with class, and we struggle with, are we on the right path? Am I doing the courses that's required for me to graduate, and can I actually pull this off? You know, some people go to school for a number of years, 10 years, just on a 4-year program because they don't have it, they didn't manage it right. Things came up, you know, a career change, marriage, kids, whatever it may be. But today, our speaker is going to share with us how to finish in 4. It's Mr. Miguel there, and he had wrote a book on how to finish in 4. Mr. Miguel is no longer with us. God have called him home. But he left. left us a powerful message, and he left some powerful writing on how to finish in four. Please listen to this program and be encouraged about what he has to say, how to finish college in four. So the next voice you'll hear, an episode of a previous recorded show of Mr. Miguel and myself. Kick back, enjoy, and be back with you shortly.
And higher tuition, and the whole thing has just become a lot more costly to go to college. So nowadays, it's just not prudent for students to waste time in college longer than they have to be there. So it has become almost completely necessary for a student to think about graduating college on time and being able to use their time effectively while they're in school in order to get the most out of college while they're in there, but again, graduating college on time. So that's what the book is all about. I originally wrote the book in 2010. I was working as a student retention coordinator at East Stroudsburg University in Pennsylvania. My background is I've done student recruitment. I've worked with veterans at universities. I've done student retention. So I've worked in a lot of different kind of jobs at the university, all trying to help students to graduate college in one way, shape, or form. But at the time, I was tasked with sort of helping the students at East Stroudsburg University to graduate, on time, to graduate hopefully in 4 years. Our retention rate was not great, and we wanted to do something about it. And so one of my first tasks was to try to think of some ways to help the students. And I immediately thought, well, let me get a book that'll help these students that they can read, that a nice short book that they won't mind reading, that we can give to our incoming freshmen, and we can sort of help them to start thinking about graduating college in 4 years, and so they don't take it for granted that they're going to do this. So I searched and I searched and I searched. I went on Amazon and I searched and I went to Barnes and Nobles and I just kept looking for a book that would be able to give me the information that I needed to transfer to the students. And I couldn't find a book out there. So I spoke to my bosses and the folks there at East Stroudsburg, and I said, you know what, the book's not there, so I'm going to go ahead and write it. And that's what I did. I spent 2010 writing the book. And this past May, we published it. So it's been exciting, Joel. I'll say that.
Yes, it has been. And as I was thinking about the book there, as you're doing your research, you notice that the needs and the purpose hadn't changed over the years.
No. You know what? It's kind of funny that the retention rates, and when I say retention, I mean, it's a administrative term, college administrative term, where, we're trying to retain students, we're trying to keep students at the university and graduate them. But retention rates have not changed in the past 30 years or something like that. So
exactly.
We've done a really good job of helping students to get to college. I'll say that we have. I was in the forefront of student recruitment. I actually worked with, general population of students as well as minority students, and I've worked in the inner cities and with disadvantaged students, helping them to go to college. And in our country and our colleges have really done a good job in opening up the doors to a college education for everyone. There's no argument there. I know at East Stroudsburg, they made big strides in recruiting minority students and helping minority students to come into the university and increase those rates of minority students and first-generation college students and young ladies. We've done a wonderful job with young ladies going to college now. To be quite frank, the women are, top men in college, going to college. I mean, nowadays it's not uncommon that there'll be 60% women in an incoming class and 40% men. I mean, that's not strange. So we've done some really good work helping students to get to college. Unfortunately, we haven't spent as much time or effort in helping them to graduate. And that's where I think the next step I think that's going to be the forefront of the battle for the next years to come. Is okay, now we students know they need to get to college. These days, it's not like when I was 20, 30 years ago where you can actually, or even 40, 50 years ago where you can actually get a job without going to college. These days, it's almost a prerequisite that you get a college degree. So
yes, it is.
Since that's the case, you want to make sure, we want to make sure as administrators and even the students themselves, we want to make sure that they spend their time wisely. So, we wrote Finishing Four, and we published Finishing Four because it wasn't out there. There was nothing out there like it. There still isn't anything out there like it. I have, in my research, I've searched and searched in all the different books out there. Most books are either geared towards academics, it's folks that are faculty or administrators, or, they talk about the subject of retention rates, but there's no book out there that's actually a guide to the actual student. And I'll tell you, working with college students, they're students. They're young people. They wouldn't want to necessarily read a big old textbook about, how to graduate college in 4 years. You want something quick. You want something easy. The book was created to be able to be read on an iPad or read on your smartphone. It's only 64 pages, and half of those pages are these beautiful pictures that we have. So it's a very short, quick read, but it packs a big punch, and it gets to the gist of the issue and helping the student. Number one, I mean, the biggest, the longest chapter is chapter one, which is, having a plan to graduate college in 4 years. And this is one of the things that I realize is that most students, they come in as freshmen, they're all excited and ready for school, and they're smart already. They're in college, so academically they shouldn't have an issue, but they're not necessarily thinking of how can I graduate college in 4 years. That's not the number one thought that a college student comes in to college. Some do, but most don't. Most are thinking about, their classes, they're thinking about tuition, they're thinking about partying, which is, that's common. They're thinking about girls, they're thinking about boys, but they're not thinking about, how can I get the most out of my college education as well as graduate on time. So this is something that if you're a parent or if you're someone that has, if you know someone that is going to college, this is a great book to get them right at the beginning of their college journey. So maybe when they graduate high school, maybe when, right before, they get on that bus to go to college in August, this is a great book for them to read on the way up to school or read, during that first week of school. So it'll set their minds to being successful and what kind of game plan they need to have. I mean, in every aspect of life, if you're going to be successful, you have to have a plan. And having a plan to graduate college and finishing college on time is no different. I mean, if you don't have a plan, then you're probably not going to do it. And so that is, I think, the most important chapter in the book. The other chapters are very important as well, but having a plan is just pinnacle to being able to be successful in college. If you don't, college is very, and this is something else I tell my students, and when I get a chance to speak to students and talk to them about, you know, being successful in college, I say college is very different than high school. In high school, basically, if you show up and you pass your classes, they're going to guide you through that process, and you're going to be successful. All you have to do is show up and, you know, behave and pass your classes, and they have it all plotted out for you. It's fairly easy. But college is not like that. College is, you are in the driver's seat. If you don't show up to class, you don't show up to class, and there's not going to be anybody knocking at your door or sending necessarily letters home to your parents. You're an adult, and to a large degree, your parent is not responsible for you as far as the college is concerned. So, therefore, you know, it's all up to you. So you sink or swim based on what you do. And if you don't show up to class, if you don't do your work, if you stay up late the previous night and decide to skip class in the morning, if you just don't do the right thing, you will suffer the consequences. And there won't be anybody, there's no real safety net there to help you at most universities. I actually know that at several universities, at many universities, you don't get to meet your academic advisor until your second or third semester. And many students actually, many freshmen especially, they struggle that very first semester. That's the most pinnacle time that you need to get a hold of your advisor at a university. And there are advisors at most universities, but it's up to you to find them. So it's not like you're going to, you know, be necessarily given those tools from the onset when you start school. It's up to you to find it. So with that responsibility comes a whole lot there's a larger chance of you not being successful if you don't have a plan. So it's very important that you go in there with a very mature attitude and just understanding that, you know, a lot of this is going to fall on your shoulders. You're going to sink or swim based on what you do and what you don't do. So,
yes, you're so right. And as you was sharing with us here, I was just writing, making some notes here, and you were saying having a plan, and we emphasized that. How frustrating is it for a student as you recruiting and as you talking to them about their plans that they don't have a plan?
Well, it is. I think it's frustrating for students. I think a lot of times, I don't even think they're aware that they need a plan.
I know what you're saying because you're so right.
Yeah, I don't even think it's kind of like they've never been in college. If someone is now going to college for the first time, they're a freshman or even a transfer student. They've been successful in high school already, so they've navigated that educational system, that high school educational system. But really, they're going into a brand new educational system, and college is optional. It's still not something that you have to go to. So it's set up so differently than high school. Really, in high school, the only plan you need to have is go to class, do your work, you know, don't mess up, and, you know, follow the rules, and they're going to guide you through that whole process. So you're not going to have an issue. But college is different. I mean, you're not going to get the kind of guidance that you had in high school. And there's a saying there's something I said in the book. I say cockiness is next to dumbness. And I say that in speaking about students who go to college thinking because they were successful in high school, that they're automatically going to be successful in college. And that's a cockiness that is based on a success of a prior success, which is good success. I mean, it's great you graduated high school, but it's almost meaningless when you start to think about college. The whole dynamic of college is different, and students should be weary or should be scared when they start college. I think there's a good there's a healthy sense of fear that needs to happen with students, and apprehension, and just realizing, you know what, I'm not in Kansas anymore, to quote the Wizard of Oz. I'm in a different kind of place. And, you know, and those students that are normally, if a student has that kind of apprehension and that kind of fear and almost kind of like a, whoa, what, you know, I need help here, then they're in a good position to be able to navigate the waters. As opposed to a student who thinks, oh, this is just like high school, you know, I'm going to be able to whiz by. I was able to, you know, go through high school with little or no studying, and I got A's, and, you know, and that's not going to be the case in college. And you're going to work a lot harder in college. The work is harder. The professors are professors, they're not teachers. So it's a whole different atmosphere. And I think the more students know this, the better it is for them. The more students that are prepared for this change and for this cultural change with college, as opposed to high school, the better it is for them. I know one of the challenges is I'm a first-generation college student, Joel, and what that is basically neither one of my parents went to college. So I have a soft spot in my heart for first-generation college students and any student that is non-traditional in a sense. Hundreds of years ago, universities were for the rich. They were for folks that could afford to pay for college. People that went to college, they their families were wealthy. Maybe both of their parents went to college. At least one of their parents went to college. So it was kind of, you have that kind of help from home, that kind of guidance. I know when I went to college, I didn't have that guidance. God bless my mother. You know, she helped me financially. She supported me the best way that she could, but she didn't go to college herself, and neither did my father. So neither one of them could actually give me practical help, on what to do, about this professor, or what to do, about this particular situation. I mean, they just couldn't help me. And so therefore, I was really on my own when I went to college, when I started college. I was lost. I had no reference point whatsoever. I had never been in the college atmosphere. All I could do was assume that it was like high school, because that's the only reference that I had. I had high school, and it wasn't. And therefore, I struggled. I struggled in my first year of college was so difficult. I made so many different mistakes, and I just didn't have anybody to really help me. I don't think I met my advisor myself until I was in my third year of college, and I didn't realize how important it was until I was a senior, and I was like, you know what, I need to get out of here. I need to be talking to someone about, how I can graduate. But I just remember the struggle, and I put all of that, and I remember all of that, and I put those kind of things in the book because, I know how it feels to be a first-generation college student and not have the support from home. And it is one of the, most daunting things in the world not to have guidance and not to have a mentor. So it's even more important for first-generation college students to, if you're one of them, to find your advisor right away. Get into a mentoring program. you know, find someone, you know, a family friend or a relative who has graduated college and seek their help, seek their advice. It's so important. And most of the students that are not graduating on time are those first-generation college students that don't have the guidance from home. If your parent has graduated from college, like, you know, my daughter, she's in college, and, you know, if she has an issue with school or financial aid or whatever, I mean, at least she has me, and she has my wife who graduated school. We're able to help her. We're able to guide her in a very practical sense. Even if I didn't write this book, even if I didn't work for a university, just the fact that I graduated from college, you know, just gives me that kind of wisdom to say, well, you can do this or don't do that. And so it puts my daughter in a very good position to be able to navigate the landscape where, you know, if you're someone that doesn't have, you know, a college graduate in the family or parent, then you know, you're just at a disadvantage, and that's just how it is. And then you have to compensate, and you have to find a way to be successful. And if you don't,
yes, you do.
You do. I mean, you have to find a way to be successful. You can't use it as an excuse. Hey, your parents didn't go to college. Mine didn't go to college. You know, a lot of my friends' parents didn't go to college that I was in school with. Most of my friends, they were all first-generation college students, and they graduated, and we did it, and, you know, some took longer than others, and, you know, but you have to sort of find a way to be successful.
Amen. Mr. McGill, we're going to break right here just for a second. We're going to do a little promo. We got a caller on the line, so hold on, caller, and then we're going to bring you right back, okay?
All righty.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Good morning. Welcome again to our weekly internet program. This morning we have a great guest on the line, Mr. Miguel. He's an author and a motivational speaker, and the book that we're talking about this morning is Finishing in Four. You know, as a college student going, preparing to go to college, or in college, sometimes they have a difficult navigating the system. They have a difficult time getting out. And Mr. Miguel has wrote a book that's very dear to his heart to try to help the students along the way that they should be able to finish the task at hand. I'd like to give you this our call-in number where you too can join in the conversation. That number would be 310-982-4126. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. And please take advantage of that number. Please take advantage of the programming that we offer here on Blog Talk Radio, Free on the Inside, because it makes a difference. And we're going to bring Mr. Miguel back on here shortly, but we do have a caller on the line. I ask you, caller, just be patient because we want Mr. Miguel to be able to go ahead and share everything he has. We're going to bring the caller in just a few, right before he gets off this here program, in case you have a question to ask him. Mr. Miguel.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Now, as we get ready to wind down this here program, what you said, you said some things that really resonated was that as a student makes plans, that, you know, and when they start changing courses, it's very difficult, you know, to kind of complete those tracks. How much of a challenge it is when students start changing their, start changing their goals?
Changing their goals or changing their major?
Changing their major, let's put it that way.
Okay, so if a student, I mean, changing your major doesn't have to be a bad thing. I think you have at least up to, in most universities, you have at least up to your sophomore year, the end of your sophomore year, to make a decision about your college major. I mean, it's great you go into college knowing that you want to be an engineer or knowing you want to be a biology major or something like that. That's great. If that's the case, then, you know, more power to you. But many students these days do not know what their major is going to be. And many universities have gotten very wise and, and set up programs where you can actually go in as an undeclared student and go and take your basic courses, because in college you have to take 2 years of basic courses in most schools and then 2 years of courses in your major. And so normally you take those 2 years of basic classes first. So it doesn't. What I'm saying is, it doesn't have to be an issue as long as at some point before your junior year you decide what your major is going to be. Now that being
all
said,
right.
if you don't decide by your junior year, then you can get into problems, and then it could prolong your stay at the university because you might have taken some classes that are not going to go towards your major and things like that. So it doesn't need to be an issue, though.
Well, great. I tell you what, Ms. McGill, we're about ready to wrap up this portion of the show. Hold on. We have a call on the line. If you just may want to just say hello or just find out where they can get your book. And we want you to be able to tell us where to pick up your book at and prior to you leaving this program.
All right, great.
Good morning. You're on the net. Good morning, caller. You're on the net. Okay, that caller there, maybe they just choose just to listen in, and they do have an option. Callers, you do have an option just to listen in on the show or just to join in the conversation. As you call in, I get a little icon on the switchboard to tell me that you want to join in the conversation. If not, I still see your number on there. So just please enjoy, do whatever you see fit to do, but thank you for listening in on the program. Now, Mr. McGill, as we get ready to wind down, will you please tell us how to get your book and the other information we need in the case we want to contact you,
sure.
Our listening audience.
Yeah, sure. The book is available at all major wholesalers, including Amazon, and it's on Kindle. So if someone wants to get the book, the best way to do it is to go to our website, www.finishin4.net. That's finishin4.net. And, you go to our website, it'll give you direction to either purchase the book on Kindle or purchase the hard copy of the book. Either way, you're able to get the book, and it's a very attractive book. So if you do purchase it, I think you'll be very happy with the way it looks and the way it's laid out. We've spent a lot of time and a lot of money to make sure that the book looks good. So I think most people will be very impressed with the layout of the book and the covers and pictures and that kind of thing. But again, it's finishin4.net, and it's also available on Amazon and at all major wholesalers.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much. You've been a great show.
Thank you, Joe. It's been great being on your program. I really do enjoy it. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and have a great day.
You too, sir.
Hey, man, you had just finished listening to Mr. McGill, an author and motivational speaker, wrote a book, How to Finish College in 4, and we want to thank him for that. Or for his willingness to be on the show. And we know that book will make a difference in the life of our young people as they are developing a sense of awareness and that they're developing a desire to be successful in life. And Mr. McGill has poured out his knowledge and his understanding of the system to share with our young people. So if you have an opportunity, please pick that book up. He told you where you're able to get it. And if you have a problem finding it, please give me a call at this number, 310-982-4126, and I give you the information that Ms. McGill has shared with me, amen. So we get ready to bring in our next guest here, and we're excited about what's going on here. We have another young man that's working in the ministry, and our ministry is geared up towards our young people. And so what we like to do here is just bring in someone that's dealing in the ministry, amen. And so we're going to bring them on, and they're going to come in, and they're going to share what God is doing in their lives. Amen. But again, I'd like to say hello to our staff over at Granny's Place, Beverly Beale and Sister LaShondra Lewis, how they're working very hard in the ministry to make a difference in the lives of our young people. And also, I'd like to say hello to our outreach ministry team, last weekend we were able to go down to Dallas Life Foundation. And, you know, that's a shelter near downtown Dallas, Texas. And we were able to do our annual lunch, and it was called Feed the Multitude. And, oh, man, God bless us. We did our show live from down there. And so everyone was excited about what was going on. And so we were excited about what God is doing. And we have our next guest is coming on the line here. We're calling them up right now. You may hear the phone ringing here. So please be patient. You're going to be excited about this guest here.
Hello?
He's considered to be a good friend of mine.
Jones?
Good morning. You're on the net. Yes,
how
good morning.
Doing?
You're on the net. I'm doing great, Mike. How you doing?
Oh, just sitting here waiting for you to call.
Well, thank you, my brother. Thank you. Mike, you know, we're on the net right now, so I want to thank you for being a guest on our weekly internet program. Our show is geared up toward our young people, and I know that you have a desire and you have a willingness to work with our young people.
Yes, sir.
Now tell us, Mike, introduce yourself and tell us what portion of the ministry that you're involved in to help our young men and women.
Well, my name's Mike. I grew up in Garland, Texas. I've lived in Garland all my life. My wife grew up in Garland, lived in Texas all of her life, Garland, Texas. I do the jail ministry. I do the juvenile. I used to do the bus ministry before I did this, so I had a hard time getting around because I had surgery on both my hips, so I'm a hemophiliac, and I couldn't do that anymore. So one of the older guys at church asked me to go do this with him, and I didn't think I'd like it at first, but when I went down there, I just kept going. It grows on you. You come to like the kids. The kids are responsive. You think you're going down there to see a bunch of criminal kids. They're not really that. They're just kids that a lot of them, I don't know where they're at in their life or what's happening to them, but I do know I can look in their eyes, and most of them aren't people that are like killers or something. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right, I understand.
Kids, and they're pretty responsive when you talk to them. And that's been, when I was younger, I wound up in a lot of trouble like they do and what they're getting into. And I try to talk to them about where that leads. And I hope that they hear something that will make them think about it. Maybe, you know, someday if they don't get it at that time. You don't know how the warlord works. He may work right then. It may be years before they remember something. I remember things that the people at church told me when I was a kid a lot of years later that didn't affect me right then. And I'm hoping that it, what we